I'd like to look at a scripture in the 26th chapter of Genesis. A couple nights ago, Brother Dan was exhorting a little bit before prayer, and I felt like motioning to him and going, but I'm glad the Lord can support his messages. He's talking about this scripture in the 26th chapter of Genesis. I want us to know today that no matter what the Lord has spoken to you this week, no matter what your intentions may be at the moment, or what you feel like may be accomplished, I want you to know that the enemy is going to oppose you on that. There's no way that he's going to let that go without an attempt to oppose what you feel like you've got. He will oppose it. He is ruthless. He uses his power of persuasion and his spirits to talk with us, to deal with us, to make us feel things. He also has the ability to use people to come in and challenge those kind of things. And we have dealt this week with the idea of God having in his plan of salvation wells that cover much more than we covered, much more than seven. You could probably off the top of your head think of seven more important ones, or many more than that. But the devil's going to oppose every one of them. Yes. And our desire to go get those is going to be challenged. The truth of it is that the Lord has given access, but we still have to draw. We're going to have to go through doubts sometimes. We're going to have to go through oppositions. We're going to have to go through what people think. Sometimes we're going to have to do it our alone. Sometimes we'll have brothers helping us. Sometimes you do it by yourself. But it'll be opposed. And I want to think about that. I want to look at the scripture, 26th chapter of Genesis. And I'll start with the 15th verse. It says, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed hence, pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." So the scene seems to me to be, if you'll give me liberty to go a little outside of what's said here, Abraham had an amount of authority in his day. And he went in and had wells digged in different places. And after he died, the Philistines came and filled them up. But I have to ask an obvious question here. Why would you do that? Why rather would you not rather leave the blessing there? Because that's what that was. Those wells in the days of this arid, dry land was life-giving. To everyone that needed a drink, they were there to be able to draw from and get the blessing. But for some reason, after Abraham's authority had run out and after that time, the Philistines seen it necessary to fill the wells in. The only reason that I can think that they would do such a thing as that is that the necessity they had for them were small and the ones that they hated was great. And so in order to do something against their enemy, to bring them a halt to what they was doing or whatever, keep them from getting the blessing, they filled the well up. There is times that I feel those things happen around me too. I wonder sometimes why people want to stop up the blessing that's there. They don't find value in itself, so they don't want anybody to have it. You ever run into that kind of a thing? I've run into it quite often. It's a blessing. The life-giving, the water is right there, and the Philistines come in and stop it up. They could have had the blessing there too. If they had only given themselves to it, they could have had the blessing. But because they don't going to have the blessing, you're not going to have it either. There's a scripture in Matthew, about 5 and 48, something like that, that says that you might be the children of your Father. It's talking about being good to those that's not good to you. God makes His rain and His sun. He makes His sun to shine on the just and the unjust, and the rain fall on the just and the unjust. And if you want to be like your Father, you be that way too. Be good to everybody. That's what the Lord says. And so the Lord desires to have children. But don't you know Satan wants to have children too? He does. He wants them to be like their father. And do you know that there is people that follows their father? That's what they do. And sometimes they'll oppose you greatly. Lord, help us today. I find it fascinating that Isaac went back and uncovered the wells of his father Abraham. He went back where the blessing was at. Abraham was blessed by him. Abraham's servants and all of his people. Isaac, no doubt, was with him and was blessed by them many times himself. And after they got filled up, when he went back and was looking for his responsibility, his duty to live in his land and where he was at, what did he go back to? He went back to the same place, the same source. This is the blessing. This is where the blessing of God was at. This is where life-giving water was at. Why would Isaac look for anything else? He knew where it was at. All he had to do was go uncover the old ancient blessing. There it was. That's what God put His approval on. Today, I want the Lord to help you and I to realize is what God's blessed, the blessing's on. You and I are desperate for that blessing. Folks, I'm not afraid of change. I just want to be where the blessing's at. I want to be where God puts His approval at. It's not strange or odd to me at all to look into the history of people that have served the Lord and find that the blessing of God are on cautious people, on careful people. The blessing. And when I look at it and see the caution and the carefulness that people had and the blessing and the anointing and the inspiration that fell on their lives, then I only want to go back and unstop the wells. I want to go back to that same source, that same place, and get the same blessing. Because the bottom line of it, folks, is that we can do all kind of human things, but we're desperate for the blessings of God. We need God's blessing on what we're doing. We have in our services different kind of ritual ways of doing things. If you'll notice, everybody's got them. We sing a few songs. We have prayer doing that. That's all in a form. Those things can change back and forth without changing the blessings of God. But there is things that God will not bless over. Do you know today that God isn't impressed with the flesh at all? He's not impressed with it in the least little bit. And when we have our services together, I'm not accusing anyone. I'm making an illustration. When we have our services, we want to put the flesh out. There's no place that the Lord approves of the flesh. So, and when we come to these guys, the last thing we want to do is demonstrate the flesh in any way. In any capability. It's not that we want to make a bunch of rules or that we do make a bunch of rules. We want to be where God's blessings fall. That's what we want to do. We want to be in the place where God puts His approval on our lives. I want to tell you that the devil is going to oppose you. And he's going to oppose us in everything we have a desire to worship the Lord with, everything we desire to do. If you've been challenged this week to be more content, I'll tell you the devil will challenge that. The devil will keep you from drawing. If he can at all, in any way that he can, he's going to discourage you from doing that. So in this reading here, I thought, find it fascinating. Oh, Isaac goes back to that land and he those wells had been filled up. I wonder what he must have thought when he went and they was filled up. Why would somebody do that? I think that sometimes myself. I'll give you my personal testimony. I knew so very little about God when the Lord started dealing with me. I didn't hardly know anything about God. But I had a godly grandmother that I felt like gave her whole heart to the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, I did not understand my grandmother and the way she lived. As I grew up, I did not understand her hardly at all. When us children had to go someplace to stay, it wasn't her house we wanted to go to. My grandmother didn't have a TV. She didn't have a pack of cards. And she didn't have no country and western albums. She didn't have any of those things that we like to be entertained at the other grandma's house. So we dreaded to go there. Grandma was a good grandma. She took care of us good and she was loving. But it wasn't very entertaining to be at my grandma's house. I didn't understand my grandma much. She'd make comments sometimes in her own way about our hair. She'd say, "Do you know it's a shame for a man to have long hair?" So I heard those kind of things, but my understanding of the Lord was really, really on a low base. But when I got saved, something happened to me. I wanted to live for the Lord with all my heart. I desired so much to serve the Lord and didn't know how to do it. But my heart was there. The day after I got saved, I was so cautious, so careful. I remember I went to the refrigerator, and I didn't know anything, folks. I went to the refrigerator to get a drink, and there was a bottle of Pepsi in there, and I started to get it, and I thought, I don't want to displease the Lord. And I know water's all right, so I just drank water. And my hair, I used to part, and back in those days, if you look back at it, it was kind of a style, part my hair down the middle, and I had it feathered kind of back, and that's kind of the way when I was in that day, the way I'd done my hair. And I remember looking in, right after I was saved, I looked in the mirror, and I thought, I wonder if the Lord's pleased with that. That's the way the world does things. And so I just put my hair down. I know some people would say, well, it's all right to comb your hair. It wasn't about that. It was about something in my heart. I wanted to serve the Lord so much that I was willing to do anything to do it. I don't measure everybody by the way the Lord dealt with me, but I do know that the blessing falls on the careful, the cautious, those that are concerned, those that are willing to do whatever it takes to get the blessing on it. Willing to put aside whatever it is to be put aside. Oh, Isaac went back knowing where the water was at. We've got to dig these wells out because there's where the blessing's at. I believe God's people through the ages have been blessed of God, anointed of God. I believe healing has fallen on us. I believe the blessing has fallen on us. There's people, I'm not saying, when I say us, get me right. Because so many people do get us wrong. There's people that would have listened to me saying us and said, you all think you're the only one. I don't think we're the only ones. I think that everybody that God has saved is what I'm saying us is. Amen. No matter where you're at or what you've done, across this whole big city of Oklahoma City, from coast to coast and world round, if they found the Lord Jesus, I'm saying us. So it's not exclusive. I'm talking about God's people. But all of God's people have something in common. They love God.
And they want to be where the blessing's at. So we have things that we do in our services. We call it Holy Ghost leadership. Thank God for it. I believe in it. Some of you may have heard me tell this one time. But I was in a service one time and the Lord dealt with me. I felt like I had the message burned into my soul. And I did not get to preach that message at the time. Someone else got up, and while the time came up for the word, I, in my vision, I wasn't asleep, I was awake in service. But in my vision, I saw a scene. It was like Monarch, but there was no people in the crowd. There was just the emptiness of it, but there was ministers sitting all the way around if everybody was gone. And I was one of them that was sitting there. And I looked, and in my vision, behind every minister was a little imp-like looking creature with a goad. And standing in front of every minister was an angel, like this. And in front of me was a winding path of angels standing like this on both sides all the way up into the pulpit. A confirmation right before time for the word. A confirmation. I saw it in my vision. Wasn't thinking about it at all. All of a sudden, there it was. I was absolutely astounded to see that. And kind of shook my head, and before the service leader could say, time for the word, somebody hit the pulpit running, and he went up there, and the Lord spoke to my heart at that time and said, I don't always get my way. But it put a fear in my heart. Lord, I have said many times, give me the path of the angels. I believe in Holy Ghost leadership. I believe God can lead us in our lives. I don't want to lose it because, folks, it's where the blessing's at. I don't mind the changes of different things and different orders, but I don't want to lose the blessing of God on it. You and I are smart. We're smart enough to arrange a subject and get some songs together with it. We're smart enough to pick the most elaborate prayer in the building. We can do all those things. But if we do, we're subject to lose the blessing. I want the blessing. So, along with Holy Ghost leadership comes what I call Holy Ghost responsibility. I'm going to have to unstop some wells for this. I'm going to have to go and deal with the Lord for myself. I'm going to have the Spirit of God dealing in my life. I'm going to have Him work. See, because we are so free, we don't really even recognize it. You know, a number of people that has not been with us, as I say, with us in service, have come to our services, and one of the most outstanding things they'll say is, your freedom. Your freedom to worship. You don't know what you've got. People don't do that. It's wonderful, the freedom that there is to worship the Lord. We should all feel that freedom. But because of that freedom, there is from time to time people that takes the liberty and uses it for the flesh. And folks, you can do it if you want to. But we lose the blessing when you do. So we look back to the old wells. Something that old Abraham dug. Let's think today about where is Abraham's wells at? I know there was water in them, Isaac could have said. I remember as a child. It was cool and it was sweet and it was fresh. And it was in that well that my dad had. I remember that. If we go into that land again, I know where we can dig. Because there was good, cold, sweet water in that well. You can dig a lot of places and not find water, but I know where some at. I know where some blessings is at. That is, and see, we have been attacked as the church so much that we're almost afraid to talk like I'm talking. Truth? We're afraid almost to say that the blessings was on them. Because it's been criticized. All you church, you love the church. You know what somebody criticized one time about loving the church? You know what my response was? Jesus loves it. He gave His life for it. I think I should love it too. But again, some people would say, well, you think you're the only one. I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about God's church as it extends the world. Everyone that's born into it. Everyone that loves God supremely with all their heart. Everyone that wants to be free to worship. Everyone that wants to feel the power of the Holy Ghost working in their midst. That's who I'm talking about. So think today about these wells. It says, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. One day when I got saved, I found a well of springing water. And I've desired that well ever since. And my mind is, and you may disagree, but my mind is, it's why wouldn't I want everyone to have the same drink that I have? I have found a blessing in the carefulness of modesty. I thank God that He changed this old immodest person to a modest person. Why wouldn't I want everybody that I know to have the same free-flowing spring that I've got? Of course I do. I was amazed at the amount of jealousy that the Lord instantaneously at salvation delivered me from that was in my heart. Why wouldn't I want everyone to experience that too? Isaac went back and he found him a well springing of water, living water coming out. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water's ours. And he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. I don't know. What did they do, them men, after they strove for it? Perhaps they did use it. They said it was their water. But I'm going to tell you something today. The devil's going to challenge you. The devil's going to challenge you for every bucket you draw. He's going to try to keep you from having that. These men said, I wonder what, did they fill it back up when they after Isaac had to get out of there, he struggled with it. Did they fill the well back up? You ain't drinking this well. So many times the devil brings accusations in us, and if we're not careful, kind of downs us down. If we ain't very careful, we'll be swept away or we'll resist a movement and we'll resist ourselves all the way out of balance to the other side of that thing, trying to resist. You know, there's nothing wrong with praising the Lord. It's a good thing. If you get up and try to exalt your flesh into some kind of demonstration, you're wrong every time and there's no blessing on it. But if you're out of the purity of your experience and in your heart, praise God. It's right. It's comely. It's worship to God to free flow it out of your heart. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from hence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So he kept digging. And he got him a well. He got a place. Say, Lord, help us today that whatever it is that may be challenging, you need help with, God has made a place for that. But it's going to be challenged all the way through. There is a scripture that says something like, stand in the way. Stand in the way and say, where are the old paths? Why? Why am old paths? I ain't saying that I have to talk like, look like my grandmother. But I have to have the same heart she had. She loved the Lord. She wanted to serve God. Sometimes it's misunderstood.
Sometimes we're not as wise as we should be. We don't have all understanding. Sometimes in people's zeal, I felt like my grandmother was like that at some times. She wanted so much for her family to be saved. She longed for it. She desired it so much that she probably was misunderstood much by what she said. I did not realize that until after I was saved, what she really was about and what she really purposed to do. I believe this, though. I believe I'm a product of her prayers. I believe that her diligent efforts and prayers helped my experience. I believe to some degree that her prayer still avails in her devoted life. Me and my sister both can look back and say many things about that, but you know, after I grew up to understanding of the things that God desires, I can actually look and say, I wish she was still here. I would love to go back and talk to my grandmother about some of the things she wanted to talk to me about. Stand in the way and say, where is the old past? Or if you want to say it this way, Lord, where did you bless that? Where is the wells at? What should we hang to? What should we believe in? I'm not afraid of change of any kind, as long as it's God's change. As long as His approval and His blessing will be on it. The folks, you know as well as I do, we live in such a changing world. It's a challenge. Challenging holiness. Challenging standards. Challenging thoughts and right and wrong. And what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Challenges on all these hands. Challenge of what wisdom even is. What is truth? What is the truth? We've been talking about it some lately. What is truth? The world looks at it and says, this is a truth here. This is a truth. There is people in our world that is born a certain way, and you ought to accept them because they're born that way. It is a scientific truth. Really? That's a truth? The blessings of God have never been on it. The blessings of God has never been on the accepting of it. But it has been on holiness. It's been on humility. Lord, help us to be humble. Because the blessings of God is there. When we go and dig those wells looking for those blessings, I'm going to tell you they're going to be wells of humility. They're going to be wells of lowliness. What the devil's going to challenge us, he's going to challenge us with pride. He's going to challenge us with self-worth. He's going to challenge us with self-ideas and all those things. He's going to try to bring division because you know where the blessing's at? In unity. I'm telling you, the devil is trying right now to split us in all kind of ways. He wants to split us family-wise. He wants to split us in locations. He wants to split us in our race. He wants to split us in all these things. Because you know why? The blessing is in unity. It always has been. It always will be. We can go back and be assured that's where the well is at. Right there is where the blessings of God rest on it. We don't live the same. Styles change, cultures change, different things change, but the blessings of God still rest on the same ideas. Not particulars, maybe, but the ideas are always be the same of where God's blessings at. God help us today. If we want the blessings, you're going to have to be where they're at. We can't dictate to God, folks. You know, God's the one that has the water in the ground. You don't go thinking you can just dig anywhere and get it. It's going to be where He put it. And it's going to take labor to dig. And you don't you know that it took some effort to dig these wells back out? But what was the driving, promoting force? The approval of God's on it. God's blessed it. And this is where I'm going to get that blessing at.
So as this meeting's ended, just wanted to warn you today, it's going to take something to get it. It won't come cheap. There'll be times that you're going to go to a well, of one of these that God has made, and you're going to go to the well, and you're going to find out that the old enemy's beat you to your well, and he's got it stopped up. And it ain't just a matter of getting some water. Now it's a matter of having to wait, fight the enemy to get to it. You're going to have to fight to come up with it. You're going to have to get there and have to get some stuff out of the way. It's there. It's accessible. But I'm going to tell you, there's a fight for it. 2010, I believe the saints are just as much saints as they ever have been. No difference in us. All the way down through the ages, the same thing. The blessing falls on the same thing. Obedience, folks. Obedience to the Word of God. Humility. Sacrificial. Unified. Willing. As the Scripture says, be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Now, Sister Maxine's put a request in a couple different times about God would heal the offended and help there be forgiveness. You know why that is so absolutely important today? Because it's where the blessings of God's at. There's where God is really going to bless your life at. He won't bless over that. Lord, help us today. I suppose we could talk about many, many things. But if you're going to get this, you're going to fight for it. And the old devil's going to continue somewhere, contend with you all the way through. So be strong and of a good courage. And Lord, help us all. You pray for me.